Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. As always, conversations at the intersection of life, business, and community. 7 years ago to the day, our guest Joe Gerke was named president of Kessler's Diamond Center, Inc. Today, he holds the title of CEO. Joe joined the company from Associated Bank, where he worked in commercial banking. During his time at Associated, he provided financial strategy and guidance and services to a bunch of corporate customers, including Kessler's. Now he's made the successful transition from behind the books, if you will, to behind the counter in retail. And I'm sure it's come with some challenges and fun opportunities along the way. Not to mention, he's gained some really interesting insights into consumer behavior and shopping trends and leadership, employee engagement, employee ownership, and more. If you listen to the radio in the market, as you're doing right now, over the past many, many years, I'm sure you're familiar with Kessler's Diamonds. They're a partner of the station and a name the area knows really, really well. Among the many topics we're going to talk about today with Joe, and I'm fascinated about it, is how does a new leader and CEO coming into a business that's so known for its founder, in this case, Richard Kessler, who was, you know, truly the name and face of the company he founded. How does a new leader evolve the company and continue to build the brand? Richard Kessler was and is an entrepreneur, was in all the radio ads with his voice. He was the likeness. He was the face of the company. He wanted to be your jeweler, right? So when we come back from the break on this first official full day of summer, we'll talk diamonds, we'll talk retail, we'll talk leadership, maybe a little bit about lab-made diamonds because I'm a little fascinated about that too. And we'll talk about how things are changing in the jewelry and fashion business. And when will Kessler's new location in Kenosha open? I'm excited and I'm ready to mine the opportunities in retail and diamonds with our guest, Joe Gerke. From Kessler's Diamonds, you're listening to WTMJ. I'm Jeff Sherman, and this is The Upswing. Welcome back to the Friday Upswing Show. Joe Gerke, CEO of Kessler's Diamonds, joins us today. Joe, thanks for taking the time out of your morning.
Pleasure to be here.
I appreciate the pastry and the donut that you brought in, too.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. So give us your background prior to joining Kessler's. A pretty interesting business background in banking and more, but kind of give us the Joe Gerke story.
Yeah, I started my banking career in the middle 90s in West Michigan, and I came over to Southeast Wisconsin in 2000 and spent really 17 really good years with Associated Bank in different capacities in commercial lending, and got to look, you know, one of the things about being a career as a banker is you get to know lots of companies just a little bit. And you get to meet a lot of really interesting people. So, you know, it was just a great time for me to, you know, get connected to the community, help companies, and then create an opportunity like this one that I'm in today.
Okay. So let's go back, 7 years ago. Were you ready for a transition from banking into retail? Were you looking for a new opportunity, or was this just something that came with a conversation and you and Richard Kessler?
You know, the irony
happened.
Yeah, the irony is it was one of those situations that Richard asked me to be on a panel of people to help him define what his successor should look like. And so I was probably like one of three outside people that were invited in,
okay,
along with 9 or 10 internals, and we were describing what should that next leader look like. And I'm leaving that meeting, and Richard was the quintessential sales professional, says, "Hey, Joe, we just described you. You know, you should really give this some consideration." And I kind of played it off, and I wasn't really thinking along those same lines, but I would say between Richard and a board member that we know mutually, mm-hmm, they were pretty persistent about me thinking differently about this opportunity. I was answering the question initially like, a different bank wanted me to hire, to hire me, and I wasn't really interested in doing that, but this was an interesting opportunity I had to give some thought to.
All right. So as you considered the opportunity, kind of going into a founder-based company, what conversations did you have with yourself, and how did you kind of create that SWOT analysis for yourself?
Yeah, you know, one of the things about Kessler's, and cool part about the opportunity is, and you described it in the opening, like, you know, this was Richard's company. Richard was the brand, and I'll never forget, I was introduced as the new president May of 2017. We have annual shareholder meeting in May, and no one really knew that I was going to be the person. I snuck into the back of the room. I go up on stage in front of 100 and some people, that many of which have never met me before. Some were on the interview panel. And, you know, the biggest thing I needed to keep focused was, you know, I had to be me. I didn't have to be him. And one of the questions I got up on stage was, hey, what are you most excited about? What are you most scared about? And I remember how I answered what I was most scared about is I said that I'm not him and you're going to want me to be him. Mm-hmm. And he was a one-of-a-kind entrepreneur, great calculated risk taker. I just needed to be me. But one of the reasons he wanted me to be a part of this company is he felt like, yeah, I don't necessarily have experience in diamonds or retail, but I have pretty good general business experience, knew how to kind of grow business with access to capital. And he felt like I fit the culture. So those were the kind of the things that kind of made me say, all right, let's go do this.
Yeah. I mean, did you have conversations with him in terms of, hey, what do you want me to do? What don't you want me to do from a branding and culture standpoint? Because I'm sure you wanted to put your own stamp on it.
Yeah. I think the early parts of our conversation were just learn. And that was the nice part about making such a dramatic change in my career was I didn't feel the pressure from him to jump in and make change. This was a, you know, highly functioning business. It wasn't a turnaround story by any means. And so I had the luxury to kind of get to meet the people, get to see what the experiences were for our stores, and just really try to take a deep dive. And so I had almost 18 months of really, really peaceful, thoughtful education that was provided to me just to be able to kind of integrate at a pace. And then over time, we could figure out how we're going to make this company better.
Yeah. Okay. And was there a certain timetable in terms of, hey, this is when Richard is exiting? Did you know that coming into it?
Yeah, we talked about it. It was a kind of a constantly moving target.
Okay.
You know, I would say we kind of centered on 12 to 24 months is what we thought would be a reasonable period of time for me to kind of, you know, learn the business, because there was a lot to learn because I didn't grow up in that business. And he still had plenty of energy to give to the company. So it was a really a good situation for me to be able to kind of slide in and take the right pace to make sure I knew what I was up to.
And the relationship was solid because he was a banking client and you kind of knew what you were getting into it in a good way. And you had that opportunity to shape it in your own vision, but have the founder alongside as well. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk about e-commerce, competition, and more. I'm sure getting into the retail space for the first time came with some fun challenges, but some really good opportunities, too, to continue to grow a legacy brand. Joe Gerke, the CEO of Kessler's Diamonds, joins us. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Until you met me, drinks in New York City, boy, you look so pretty. Chelsea Cutler brings her tour to Summerfest tonight to the Generac Power Stage, 9:30. Check her out. Plus, all the great music at Summerfest on the lakefront this weekend, next weekend, and the following. We are back with Joe Gerke, CEO of Kessler's Diamonds. Joe, from a leadership and culture standpoint, coming into a new opportunity, how did you leverage what you learned leadership-wise to kind of integrate those strategies into a new culture?
Yeah, I think a couple things when I think of that question, Jeff. I think, number one, I was fortunate that Kessler's was a company that already had a really strong and identifiable culture. You know, a lot of companies that I visited with over my career in banking thought they had culture, but really they're hard to kind of put your finger to. And I think Kessler's clearly had a very well-defined, palpable culture, really based on Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which is a unique business culture to have.
Yeah.
I had the privilege of, you know, seeing lots of really, really good business leaders over my banking career. And you try to take a little bit from everybody to establish that. But, you know, one of the things that I think about when I think about our culture and how I thought about shaping the culture is, again, being my authentic self. I can't be someone that I'm not. And one of the exercises we ask people to do when they join the company is to build their own personal mission statement. And so I carry mine in my wallet with me. And it's one of those kind of North Stars as you think about leading a company, leading people, leading your family, building respectful relationships through hard work and humility is the mission statement for me. And, you know, that's always central to how I think about it, whether it's, you know, building connections and relationships with vendors, community partners, not-for-profits, our employee owners, clearly, and, you know, just constantly working on those relationships to kind of take our culture from what is a very good culture, hopefully to even a better culture tomorrow.
Are those mission statements shared with the entire company when people craft them? Is that something that's shared company-wide?
We do it in little small groups. And so we still train people when they join our company. They come for, you know, product training, diamond training, and we do culture training for 2 days. And so we're very intentional about training on our culture, getting people to understand kind of what the seven habits mean for them. And in your small little group of training, that's just part of your exercise. And so you share it in that little small group. And some of us has shared it over the broader. Nice. I've been very public with mine because I give a lot of speeches to the company. And it's one of those things I constantly refer to is a really good thing that I never did before I joined Kessler's. Yeah. But it forced me to focus into what's important to me.
Nice. That's great. I have a short-term and long-term list of goals that I constantly update. And on top of that is my personal mission statement. So it's a good foundational thing that no matter where you are in your career leadership arc, keep the mission statement front and center. Yep. So from a business standpoint, the rise of e-commerce, how is Kessler's enhancing its in-store and online experience to stay competitive? Obviously, you have, you know, the Blue Niles of the world and the large diamond centers that are driving people to their sites to sell, maybe at a discount.
Yep.
So how do you continue to evolve and kind of ebb and flow with constant competition?
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes, first of all, interesting about e-commerce is, you know, we really couldn't transact over our internet or over our website until COVID hit. That was on our strategy map. We had focused our intention as a company for 40 years, giving a wonderful in-store experience. And so as we think about this transition and making sure you kind of have this omni-channel presence, you know, we want the consumer, whether they want to transact with us online or we want to entice them enough to come check out one of our stores where our employee owners will give them a fabulous experience. Like, we want those experiences to kind of be similar to each other in how they feel about it. We're very intentional about, on the e-commerce space, the packages we ship out. Give credit to our team. They're not your traditional just Amazon package. It's a very curated package with some really interesting, fun things in there. So I think e-commerce is something that we didn't do a lot of up until COVID.
Okay.
It's definitely a part of our business today. It's a new kind of revenue center for us, and we got to meet customers where they want to be met.
Yeah. So there's a lot of fear and friction in jewelry buying, right? I mean, it's a big purchase. It's a scary purchase, oftentimes obviously anchored to engagement. What percentage of the engagement business is Kessler's doing now? Is that like 60, 70, 80% of your business?
No, it's probably closer to 80, 85% is what we put in kind of engagement in the wedding band category. And it is a big deal. Like, you know, you want to do it once.
Right.
It's a lot of money. You want to get it right. And, you know, one of the things that we pride ourselves on, and you see this in our reviews, is it's not about pressuring you into this decision. Our job is to listen to you, guide you, educate you. And, you know, we hope that you make that decision with us, but we're going to walk away from that interaction with our clients to say, even if they don't buy from us, they're going to buy a piece of jewelry that they're going to have the right education to make that decision. And so it's been a hallmark of not pressuring the sale because it is scary. It's big money. It's someone really important in your life. You want to get it right.
So walk us through some of that training in terms of, hey, if I'm coming in, what information am I going to get as I'm getting engaged? I have no idea where to turn. I don't know how much I should spend. I don't know what metals are. I mean, I just don't know where to go.
Yep.
Help teach me.
Well, I think the biggest thing that we do, Jeff, is rather than and push you down a path, so to speak, I think we spend a lot of time listening to what's important to you. You know, we hire people to work in our stores who don't necessarily come from jewelry, because we can teach you the mechanics and the technical capabilities of diamonds and jewelry. We can't teach you to be a good listener. to be an empathetic listener, to care about that person and to help them in this journey. And so really, we don't have a pre-programmed, yeah, we'll walk you through the four C's. Today, most customers are coming in with some form of education, good or bad.
Right.
And so sometimes we'll have to make sure they understand how we think about the world when it comes to jewelry. But realistically, we are really taking the lead of the customer and being really good listeners. I'm sure we'll take them through the, you know, standard process, but we really want to pay attention to what's important to you, what's important to that person that you're thinking about this ring for.
Have you seen generational shifts in terms of, you know, the 25-year-olds who are getting engaged now? How much is it different than 20 years ago in terms of what they're asking for?
Yeah, I think what we're, I mean, the trend that we see right now is we see a lot of big diamonds on small, skinny bands. And so with our warranty, we get a little nervous about that.
Bring the bling, Jim.
Yeah. And so, but I think people are getting married or engaged later in life. I think people are going to experience life, and then engagements and weddings are kind of coming after that in terms of their relationship building. I think people are probably spending time together a little less before they make that decision than kind of 20 years ago. I mean, it was not uncommon for people to be together for 4, 5, 6, 7 years before they made that decision. And today, things are happening a little quicker, but that's kind of society.
Still legacy pieces, too. You see people coming in and say, hey, I want my ring to be exactly like my grandmother's ring.
Yeah, actually, I was in Michigan earlier this week, and the cool story was it was a fairly young couple, actually. She had grandma's diamond, and she wanted grandma's diamond set into one of our rings. Oh, and nice. Nothing better than to honor that legacy, to take a piece like that and turn it into something that was going to be really special for her. So we didn't necessarily sell her a diamond, but we sold her a ring to fit grandma's diamond and a band to go with it.
All
right. And again, we were listening to what she wanted. It was awesome.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Tiffany's. Cartier.
Welcome back to the Upswing. Shining conversation with Joe Gerke, CEO of Kessler's Diamonds. Producer Charlie just popped in to the studio. Had a great joke. I got to give it to you. Why are jewelry retailers so good at social media? Joe?
Because they get a lot of engagements.
Oh, there you go. Bingo.
I think we got to change it to why is Kessler's diamond so good.
That's right. There you go. A good dad joke for you to kick off this next segment. Well, in terms of marketing and social, how has that evolved in your 7 years at Kessler? And what are you seeing in terms of engagement on social?
Yeah, I would say part of the story I tell here is, you know, obviously, we built the brand over radio for 40-plus years.
Yeah.
When I joined the company 7 years ago, I would say we were 99% of our budget was committed to radio, and 1% was to other things. And now we've still stayed committed to radio. You know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I think it's a great way to tell our story and build our brand. But we've shifted into other digital strategies, mostly around social, some search engine optimization, but just trying to make sure that, you know, what we're doing sometimes on the radio kind of connects with our digital stories.
Yeah.
A lot more of on figure, in person, really local models. Like, we hired a model from who was our server at Bravo Restaurant at a leadership retreat because he had great skin tone, and we're like, this would be a great person. So we try to make it really authentic to the community.
Yeah. I mean, telling those authentic engagement and jewelry stories, I mean, that's how you want to connect. And if you can anchor it then to what you're doing on the radio and other things, that it just all works together.
Yep.
So what have been some of the kind of the biggest operational challenges in terms of having multiple retail locations, and how do you look kind of through your lens at expansion and going into to new markets?
Yeah, I think a couple things. You know, one of the things Kessler's has always been really good at is focusing on our brand operationally. So there's a lot of people in our industry who will carry other brands and promote those brands. We really think it's important to kind of continue to promote our brand, whether it's, you know, continuing to launch new products. We're known for kind of unique products, whether it's the Kessler 81, the Time and Eternity collection, you know, pushing ourselves operationally to come up with our own things. We just launched a new bridal collection called the One Collection. We're super excited about what that's going to do for our client base. Monica's picked out some styles that we think are really on trend and our clients will love. And so operationally, just keep pushing ourselves as a leader to look for new ways to kind of come up with collections that we think that resonate.
And six locations in the state, two in Michigan. Yep. The downtown Milwaukee location, I think, opened in 2015, yep, right across from the Pfister Hotel. How has that location evolved? And kind of what are your thoughts on downtown retail as a whole?
Yeah, I think for our downtown store, we have to do it differently down there. We don't, as a starting point, we don't have a big parking lot for people to park in, right? Yeah. And so I think we moved a full-time leader downtown, Bev, in 2018, and she's really taken ownership of that store. A lot of it's through partnerships and different ways to engage the community, whether it's partnership with residents downtown, partnerships with not-for-profits, hosting people in that store. Obviously, we have a great view from the windows. We constantly are changing out our windows, yeah, to attract the eyeballs. But we think it works really well with our Brookfield store, our Greenfield store, and our Germantown store to kind of have all the different touch points for people to shop with us.
All right. When we come back from the break, you're in the process of opening a new store on Highway 50 and Highway 94 in the town of Bristol. I want to get an update on that location. We're talking to Joe Gerke, who is the CEO of Kessler's Diamonds. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Hanson on the BMO stage tonight, 9:30. A little Hanson trivia. The Christmas album from Hanson is really, really good. Hey, I put it on your list. It's too early for Christmas music, but the Hanson Christmas album is one of my favorites. Talking to Joe Gerke from Kessler's Diamonds. Joe, you're opening a new store in Bristow, Kenosha. What are the expectations of that new store, and when are you going to open?
Short answer on when we open, we hope to be open by October 1st. Okay. Expectations, it's a market we've looked at for probably 10 years because we think there's a great opportunity for us to serve that southern part of Wisconsin plus northern Illinois. And that area is growing like crazy. Like, yeah, all the businesses, it's exciting for us.
That Highway 50 corridor in Kenosha County is really strong for, yep, sure. There'll be a new Cousin Subs, Fleet Farm, a lot of activity there. So,
yep, and I don't know if it's been announced yet, but I think it's public enough. Longhorn Steakhouse is going to that same development too, which would be great for us.
All right, very good. All right, let's talk a little bit about employee ownership. We talk on the show often about recruitment and retention, not only to the region, but to specific businesses as a whole. How important is employee ownership to you in terms of attracting and retaining talent?
Yeah, I think, you know, talking about our culture previously, I think the employee ownership piece is a little bit of the cherry on top for it, because I don't think it should make or break your culture for us. Like, we need it to be a strong culture and then have this employee ownership piece on top of it. Before we were an employee-owned company, Richard was very transparent with what was happening in the business. So some of the tenets of being employee-owned were there before we were technically employee-owned. Now the cool part is, we all get to kind of, and I'm very intentional about my pronouns when I'm talking about this is our company. Again, because it was a founder-led company, I want to make sure that we all recognize we have a stake in this. And then we get to celebrate share price once a year and see employee owners have, you know, real meaningful numbers in their statements that they can help hopefully have a better retirement because of it.
Okay. In terms of lab-grown diamonds, I want to have you get me some clarity on that, because I think there's still some confusion in the marketplace. What's a real diamond? What's a fake diamond? What am I paying for? How do you differentiate that in terms of the consumer mix?
Yeah, you know, lab-grown diamonds, we like to call them newborn because I think it sounds a little bit more
okay.
Engagement ring-like. But, you know, it's a story of origin, you know, where they've come from, whereas natural diamonds come from billions of years on the earth. Newborn diamonds come above ground and are made in a laboratory. I've toured them before. You know, they're still the same chemical composition of a diamond. It's carbon structure, and it's all the things you'd expect out of a diamond. It's just where it's coming from, and it's to each their own. We've always been about options. When we presented it, we were an early adopter of this product back in 2015, so it's not new to us. Mm-hmm. And so our job is to educate the clients about origin, kind of how they're produced, what it means to them. You can buy a little bit bigger diamond for the same budget when it comes to the product, but to each their own. We don't have a bias in terms of where they end up putting in their engagement ring. We just want to provide that option to them.
Okay. All right. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about some of your partnerships in the community, specifically the partnership with the Child Advocacy and Protective Services at Children's Wisconsin, and get your thoughts on just the general economic trends of the Milwaukee region. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Pleasure to be joined by the CEO of Kessler's Diamonds this morning, Joe Gerke. Joe, in terms of just kind of economic headwinds and consumer preferences in election year, what do you, especially as a former banker, I mean, you're always, once a banker, always a banker.
Correct.
But what are you monitoring in terms of kind of spending behaviors? And are you fearful of kind of shopping trends changing?
I wouldn't call it fearful. I think you have to have this kind of cautious optimism. I think we benefit in our industry because, let's face it, people who are married have anniversaries every year. We have birthdays that happen every year, and everyone gets engagements happen all the time. And so we have some natural kind of demand lifts. Now, what the consumer is willing to spend on that particular event is going to change. But I think over the course of time, and when we make an investment in a new market, as an example, we view that as a 10 to 20 year investment. So we're going to have some down cycles. Mm-hmm. The political election, people are concerned about that. The data would say it's not going to be a big hit to the economy, good or bad. It doesn't matter who gets elected. It's just the uncertainty of it. So I'm pretty bullish that we're going to be plowing through this just fine.
How's the seasonality in the jewelry business? Is it still a holiday-based approach in terms of, are people still getting engaged at the same time?
Yeah, I would say December is a big month for us.
Yeah.
I spend each day leading up to Christmas Eve in one of our stores. And sometimes I turn a key because we just get overwhelmed with clients and they get later and later in their shopping. But December is definitely a big time. But I would say outside of January being a little bit of a slow time for people to kind of heal up from spending, you know, February through November, it's a pretty consistent business for us. But December is definitely a big time.
Okay. I want to talk about some of your community partnerships. Tell us about the partnership you have with Child Advocacy and Protective Services at Children's Wisconsin.
Yeah, so I was fortunate to serve on the board of Children's for 9 years, and they brought this project to us probably 3 or 4 years ago. Nurse Sarah, who's on our website, you know, wanted to have some way to kind of give these kids who are telling some really difficult stories to some of the social workers and some of the staff in these advocacy centers about the experience that they witnessed, and they're usually not great experiences. And so she came up with the idea. She wanted to give these kids a bracelet. They brought it to us and said, God, this is a home run for us. This is right in our wheelhouse. We found some Brave bracelets, as we called them. Okay. We engraved Brave on the front.
Yeah.
And the coolest part about this project, Jeff, is we offer them, the kids who receive these bracelets, to bring them into any of our stores and we'll engrave them for free. And it goes back to the kind of the gift of jewelry. It's not really what you spend on it. It's the meaning behind it that really is powerful. And so we'll get these bracelets to come into our goldsmith shop in Germantown. And our goldsmiths know these are young kids who've received this bracelet, who've probably witnessed trauma.
Yeah.
And we get a chance to put a little note on the back of that bracelet that is special to these kids. And again, it was the ultimate win-win for us to support the community with a gift of jewelry. And so we've given away probably 10,000 bracelets to both the advocacy centers and now the hospital so that, you know, kids that are going through difficult times, you know, can look down and feel like they're definitely brave kids for what they've been through.
Yeah, to be a part of the healing process is really powerful.
That's
for
awesome.
Sure. So like the Green Bay Packers and other companies, obviously you have really creative annual meetings for your shareholders and employee owners. Tell us about your last meeting at American Family Field just in May.
Yeah, it's an annual thing we do to kind of announce our share price, bring people together, entertain them, educate them, get them inspired for the next year. We're also a big partner with Make-A-Wish Wisconsin. We've been partnered with them for probably 15 years. And the 8,000th wish for Make-A-Wish Wisconsin was Lulu, who got a chance to sing at the symphony in front of the Youth Symphony. And I had a chance to attend. I'm on their board at Make-A-Wish Wisconsin. And we asked Lulu to come and sing for our shareholder meeting. And she sang Diamonds Are Girls' Best Friend. She's a phenomenal singer. She had a lot of tough times in her health, but I think she's on the other side of that. and she brought the house down. It was an immediate standing ovation. It was awesome because we were able to play some preview notes from the newscast that did some work on it. It's what it's meant to be for us, is connecting to the community, celebrating employee ownership, and just giving people that lift as they leave for the day.
All right. When I have prominent CEOs from Wisconsin in on the show, if I gave you a magic wand for economic development in the state of Wisconsin, what's your one wish?
Some of it, I think, is just getting out of our own way. I think we have a lot to offer, and I think we get hung up in this kind of mentality that we're not good enough. I think we're really strong. Think about the assets we have, whether it's the lakefront, whether it's the type of employees that are here. Like, we have a lot of good things going for us, and I think we just got to get out of our own way and celebrate what it means to be in Milwaukee.
All right. Well, let's continue to celebrate all weekend long. Joe Gerke, CEO of Kessler's Diamonds, appreciate your time. Coming up next, Wisconsin's Midday News, live from Summerfest. Adam Roberts, Jessica Tai will be there on Monday. Two of the partners from Barrett Lowe Visionary Development join. We'll have a big show announcement on Monday as well. Enjoy the weekend. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. You're listening to WTMJ.